This is an iHeart podcast. Guaranteed human.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Eric Swalwell and the Chinese influence in this country. We'll talk about that. We'll talk about FFC. Mike Slater stops by, gives us a spiritual perspective. All that and more coming up on I'm Right. Okay. So I know that right now we look around. And it's if you're on the right, if you're an anti-communist, which I'm assuming you are, it's a tough season. We're facing some midterm headwinds. There are some things we're not thrilled with. You know, we want more deportations, all these other things. But it's just a tough season. It's one of those the honeymoon's over times, and we're kind of stuck in the muck a little bit. Stuck in the muck, put it that way. On top of that, we're looking around at things happening inside of our country. And we're just mortified by it, and we're having a hard time understanding what is happening and why it's happening. Like, why is this happening?
I was just 11 years of age when I had the first gun pulled on me for being Muslim in the days after 9/11. It's been 25 years since that day. Still unchanged. Proudly believe that the name Abdullah Hussein Hamoud is as American as any other.
What? Anyway. Why are we here? That's a mayor. That's a mayor in an American city. Why are we here? By the way, that story about the gun, I'm sure that's a lie. They just lie all the time, okay? Why are we here? Why are we here?
Bismillah wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Question 755. When the state of Oklahoma voted in a referendum to amend the Constitution to ban Sharia law, what does that mean? I don't know. And yet the voters banned it anyway. And I don't have to tell you that the same exact forces that drove native peoples from their land 2 centuries ago, destroyed Black Wall Street 1 century ago, bombed a building decades ago, and tried to ban Sharia law not a decade ago, that those forces are alive and well today.
Right? That gentleman right there might very well be the next United States Senator from Michigan. We'll see how the election goes this November. That's ugly, right? Why are we here?
We have the power to set ourselves free. And I consider my own faith, Islam, a religion built upon a narrative of migration. The story of the Hijra reminds us that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was a stranger too.
Why are we here? We are here because we have two major political parties in the United States of America. One of them is deeply, deeply evil and anti-American. The other is unbelievably weak and unable to stand up to the deeply evil party. We'll set aside the weak, low-T GOP, and let's focus on the Democrat Party. Why are we in this situation? We're in this situation because Democrats hate the United States of America. Democrats understand that regular, normal Americans hate them back. And so Democrats have to find a new constituency. How do I achieve power? This is all about money and power for Democrats. Well, it's quite simple. Open up the borders and bring the barbarians inside the gates. Once the barbarians are in the gates, you provide them not only with legal protection, you provide them the things they need to loot the treasury, and in return, they will vote for you and keep you in power. What's happening right now in the United States of America is not accidental. It is being purposely done by the Democrats in this country, and it's being done to destroy the country, and it's being done for power. The Democrat Party exists only now for the foreigner. That is their only constituency. They have no other constituency. And I know there are various stupid people in the United States of America, American citizens, who still think the Democrat Party works for them, or, well, that's the best we've got. But every single part of the American Democrat coalition should wake up today and realize the Democrat coalition has left you all behind, all of you behind, because you're a lot more work than these foreigners. Bring in the foreigners, bring them in en masse. We will eventually outnumber our political opponents. We'll help the foreigners steal from the Treasury. We get power and everyone wins except for the United States of America. Did you know that Democrats have swamped state legislatures with 250 amnesty bills? 250 of them. Did you know that pro-amnesty groups have funded 20,000 lawsuits? Why? To what end? To keep foreigners inside the country. Yes, Americans voted en masse to deport foreigners. Americans voted on affordability and immigration. Every poll showed it. So the Democrats know that Americans want these foreigners out of the country, but Democrats aren't concerned about that. They're concerned about power, and Democrats understand that without these foreigners, there is no modern Democrat Party. The party itself disappears. Kathy Hochul, the governor of New York State, she has $7 million in taxpayer money she brags about handing to foreigners for their legal fees. Brags about it. This is the modern Democrat Party. There is no other constituency of the modern Democrat Party. Have you seen this guy? Salman Elmi? He's a Somali refugee. In 2021, Minnesota honored him with, I have to read this, Outstanding Refugee Entrepreneurship Award. Yeah, he was just arrested for $1 million in Medicaid fraud, 8 felonies, including a sex trafficking ring. Democrats brought him here because they knew he would be a loyal constituent. They then have spent years providing him the legal protection he needed and wanted to loot the Treasury, and now he's going to prison. It's not complicated. Speaking of Minnesota, you see this?
These guys were actually members of Hamas. They got here recently. I don't really know their citizenship status. They're from the Gaza Strip, and they want to vote today.
That's okay.
I can vote, right?
Correct. If he's vouching, you can vouch for up to 8 people.
My friends here would need to show what?
If you're vouching for them, they wouldn't need to show anything.
They don't need to show anything.
Is that like a common thing for people to vouch for Hamas members?
In Minnesota's electoral system, there is a process known as vouching, where a registered voter can vouch for 8 non-voter registered individuals. And the vouching process stands in for a proof of ID or residency or other documentation that the vouchee would need to show in order to register to vote. So in other words, if I was registered to vote here in Minneapolis, Minnesota, I could vouch for 8 other individuals who are not registered to vote, and all I would need to do is swear that I am verifying that the individuals I am vouching for live in the same precinct as I do.
Immigration is the only issue that matters. Now it is. With mass deportations of foreigners, keeping the others out, we will save America. We will have our homeland again. Without it, we cannot possibly win. It's just that simple. Remember that when you go vote in primaries. We're going to go talk to Stephen Mosier in a moment about Chinese spy operations here on American soil. Before we go talk to Stephen, let me talk to you about, speaking of foreigners, your wireless provider. You know, that big wireless company you send money to every month. Who do they hire? When you have to get a hold of somebody at that company, does it sound like English is their native language? Does it sound like you're speaking to an American? My company, PureTalk? Not only is it a fraction of the cost of the big guys, no contract, no cancellation fee, 100% U.S. customer service. When you get a hold of PureTalk, you will be speaking to an American who speaks English. And they're pleasant and helpful, not trying to run you off the phone. It's the best part, I swear. You're not going to drop calls. They're on the same towers. It's time to make the switch. Go to puretalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back. Well, we have some documentation now that just confirms a lot of things we all suspected and joked about many times before when it comes to guys like Eric Swalwell, Chinese spy, pretty looking young lady, worms her way into his life. They have some physical relations. Apparently campaign donations are involved, but this isn't about Swalwell. Swalwell's gone. This is about China and how many others are involved in this kind of stuff. Joining me now, the guy who's forgotten more about this stuff than I'll ever know, Stephen W. Mosier, author of the book The Underground Church. Stephen, okay, China ran a honeypot operation on Eric Swalwell. I would guess it's not the only time they've done that kind of a thing.
No. I mean, Swalwell's story is indicative of something that's happened, I'm afraid, I don't know, hundreds, thousands of times in the United States. I mean, the story usually begins, as it did with Swalwell, with a Chinese intelligence agent. And in his case, it was she had the name Fang Fang. And the tools of her trade were money, drugs, and her body. And of course, that's the tools of the intelligence agents trade in general from China, because they use money, they use drugs, and they use sex to compromise people. And once the people are compromised, of course, they extract information from them. And of course, in the case of Swalwell, she probably used all three to get to Swalwell. Swalwell, like so many American politicians, was an obvious target for a Chinese honeypot. You know, he drank too much, he talked too much, he slept around too much. And they go after high-value targets, these Chinese intelligence agents. And Swalwell was a high-value target. He was elected to the U.S. Congress in 2012. And Fang Fang, up to that point, had been sleeping with California city councilmen. So these intelligence agents like Fang Fang will start at the low level with prospects they think may one day reach high office. So they may sleep with city councilmen, they may sleep with state assemblymen, state senators, in the hope that that one day, with their help and campaign contributions, they will reach higher office. Well, Swalwell certainly did, and I have to make one more comment about Eric Swalwell, because this is just too good. He admitted to the FBI that Fang Fang used to come to his apartment, knock on his door, and demand to be let in. And the way she got herself in, of course, was by saying she wasn't wearing any panties. And Swalwell, of course, would take the hint, open the door, and they would hook up. But then he claimed to the FBI that he was on Ambien. Well, I think, yeah, he was on one drug or another. It may have been from Fang Fang, because this is another tool of Chinese intelligence agents. They use drugs to get what they want. And once Swalwell, of course, had passed out, Fang Fang would have had free run of his apartment, the apartment of a sitting congressman. Whatever he had in his briefcase, whatever he had in his desk drawers, would be open secrets to her. So, and then what happens is this, and this is what really gets me. We had back in 2000 a major operation going, counterintelligence operation going against Chinese intelligence agents like Fang Fang in the United States. I know we did, because I was part of it. And then September 11th came, 2001, and basically that was shut down, and all of our counterintelligence assets were repurposed towards anti-terrorism. So we dropped the ball, Jesse. We let things go for a decade or two decades. And so you get people like Eric Swalwell being compromised. And the other problem here is that the FBI under first Obama and then Biden, as you know, began to target Republicans and to try to let Democrats off easy. That's why Swalwell, in mid-2015, gets warned about Fang Fang, breaks off relations with her, and then the ham-handed FBI, for some reason, starts interviewing Fang Fang's associates and saying to them, you know, we're interested in Fang Fang's activities. They raid her apartment when she's not there, and quite naturally, what does she do? She flees to China, which gives the FBI the excuse to drop the charges on the ground she's no longer in the United States. So what was that all about? That was all about protecting an important Democrat politician, while at the same time they were going after Republican congressmen like Jeff Fortenberry, for supposed campaign contributions he had no knowledge of, and charged him with lying to the FBI and forced him, because of the scandal, out of Congress. They went over and above the call of duty, that's the wrong expression in this case, to protect Eric Swalwell and Democrats, and they concoct crimes against Republicans. That's the other part of this whole story that really angers me.
Stephen, I mean, I understand the answer, and you're going to have to give me here. It's probably going to vary quite a bit, but what is it that they're ultimately after? Is it information? Are they wanting a vote on this or that? Vote against this? Vote for that? What is it these people were after? Okay, Eric Swalwell's on the House Intelligence Committee. Is it just she wants to know what's going on in that room?
Well, I mean, the Chinese intelligence agencies, led by the Ministry of State Security in China, but aided by the People's Liberation Army's intelligence services and other operatives, it operates like a giant vacuum cleaner in the United States, Jesse. They want everything. They want to know everything about everybody in this country. That's why they've been hacking since 2015 into our computer databases. People may remember it, in 2015, they got access to government services database on 21 million Americans who had applied for security clearances, including me. So they know everything about me. I filled out that 72-page form, sent it in, and now it's in the hands of the Ministry of State Security in China, along with the documents, the resumes, the CVs of every other American who has ever said or done anything of importance in this country. So it's a giant vacuum cleaner. They want everything. The ultimate goal is to undermine and destroy American democracy. They want to defeat us. And they don't want to just surpass us in military strength or surpass us in economic strength. They want to be the dominant power on the planet, and they want us in a submissive role. That's the ultimate goal. So it really is a no-holds-barred competition, a they-win-we-lose competition to, you know, the end of time as far as the Chinese Communist Party is concerned. They believe there's only room for one of us on the planet. Either the Chinese Communist Party is dominant over planet Earth, in which case a long, dark night of tyranny will descend on the planet, or we prevail in this struggle, this long twilight struggle, which we have to endure for the rest, probably the rest of the 21st century, and come out to win in the end. So that's what's going on here. This is a no-holds-barred competition, and they will do anything to win.
Stephen, can you help me understand this part of it? If you're hoovering up all this information, that is an overwhelming amount of information. I know it's maybe a nerdy, stupid detail, but if you're in China and you're heading this operation, how do you even begin to sort all these data points out and figure out what you can use where and what? It honestly, the thought of it is overwhelming. I don't like going through the camera roll on my phone because there's too much stuff to go through. Can you explain that to me?
Well, what you do if you're China is you hack into ChatGPT and you hack into Grok and you train your artificial intelligence on our more advanced artificial intelligences, and then you use AI to filter through the data and extract the information that you need in any particular circumstance, to compromise any particular individual in the United States, to compromise any particular congressman, to seek vulnerabilities in different companies and in the structure of the government itself, people who might possibly be turned into double agents, people who might be bought and paid for, scientists who may be induced, seduced into going to China to share their scientific advances with the Chinese government. As we just found this week, that a Stanford professor who was involved in the development of the jet engines on the F-22 and the F-35, and a few months ago went to China to give talks on his scientific knowledge to a research university in China that has been officially barred from scientific exchanges by the United States government because it's involved in military research. So that kind of thing. You use artificial intelligence to sift through the data. That's what's going on, and it's happening every day, and we're not even close to beginning to stop this activity.
Not even close to beginning to stop it. That actually leads me perfectly into this little bit of knowledge about Joe Biden and the NSA. NSA covered for the fact that there was Chinese infiltration, that Joe Biden may have been compromised. Now, it's no shock to anybody to know that Joe Biden was probably compromised by the Chinese. But when you tell me the National Security Agency was possibly in on it, you already mentioned the FBI is not very proactive about this counterintelligence stuff anymore. Basically, I'm concerned about how much of our intelligence apparatus is infiltrated by China. Should I be?
Well, you certainly should be. I mean, it's not just the FBI bending over backwards to help Democrat candidates. It's the CIA, it's the NSA, it's our intelligence agencies. I think with the exception of the military intelligence agencies, which are still staffed by patriots, we have a deep problem in the other intelligence agencies that we haven't begun to root out yet. And I must say that that China uses every possible vulnerability that we have as an open society. And the fact that we allow freedom of speech, freedom of association, freedom of assembly gives them free rein, at least to date, to fund demonstrations against Donald Trump, against trying to undermine and reduce the ability of the United States to resist Chinese aggression. They're seeking every possible advantage in every arena. It's really a no-holds-barred competition. I mean, you've got, for example, you've got Chinese agents now, Chinese nationalists, buying land near U.S. military bases. And the states are trying, some of the states are trying to stop that, but the process continues. What happens when you have a parcel of land owned by a Chinese agent next to a military base? Well, they get to surveil what happens on the base. They get to note any buildups in advance of military action, thus telegraphing our moves to the Chinese security services. They possibly get to launch terrorist attacks against the base in the event that conflict ever goes kinetic around the world, perhaps in the South China Sea. This is an incredibly great vulnerability to the United States that unfortunately we're allowing to happen. And I was astonished to see that the Texas Democrat candidate, James Tallarico, actually voted against several efforts to check Chinese influence in the Lone Star State. He voted against a bill prohibiting Chinese nationals from buying Texas farmland. Why would anyone do that?
No, maybe someone's knocking on his door, a gentleman or something like that. All right, let's switch gears and talk a little bit about COVID. It's hard to avoid the Chinese angle since that's where it came from. Fauci went before Congress, took the fifth, I believe, 111 times, whatever. It was a lot of times. And you think you know the real reason why. What's going on there?
Well, Fauci is compromised from the beginning. People need to know that back in 2003, Vice President Dick Cheney put Anthony Fauci in charge of bioweapons research, except it wasn't really allowed to do, he wasn't allowed to do bioweapons research because we had signed in 1988 the Bioweapons Convention, which supposedly forbid all bioweapons research. So what he did, what Anthony Fauci did, was he outsourced bioweapons research to places like China and Ukraine, funding labs in those countries. At the same time, at home, he was developing what he thought would be a defense against bioweapons. For example, the mRNA vaccine against a COVID bioweapon he was encouraging the development of. So quite naturally, the Chinese Communist Party's bioweapons people, who were active in the Wuhan lab, were happy to have Anthony Fauci fund their research, not only fund their research through a cutout, but actually provide the technology that enabled them to do the gene splicing that resulted in COVID-19. And then, of course, once the Chinese bioweapons people had the bioweapon in their hands, they released it on the world. And Anthony Fauci, I think up to that point, thought that he didn't really have a problem because he had a defense against it, the mRNA vaccine, which he promoted to the extent of forbidding us from using safe and effective and cheap remedies to COVID like ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine. And he locked down the schools and he closed businesses and he shut down the economy of the US government. We heard about 15 days to stop the spread. What Anthony Fauci wanted was to slow down the spread of COVID in the United States so that people wouldn't develop natural immunity and would reject the vaccine that he had developed. That's what we understand now happened. And so he locked down the country, hurriedly developed this mRNA vaccine, which turned out not to be the answer to COVID, and wanted to vaccinate everyone in the United States. So Anthony Fauci, at every stage, made the wrong decision. He made it to protect himself from being exposed as the funder and the technological advisor of the Wuhan lab in China, where the COVID was developed. He locked down the country in order to promote the mRNA vaccine that he had developed that turned out to be largely a failure. Everything he did made the situation worse. And, you know, I pray that someday he will be called to account for causing a million deaths in the United States, perhaps 20 million deaths around the world, and trillions, tens of trillions of dollars in economic damage. I've long said that Chairman Mao is the greatest mass murderer in human history, but Anthony Fauci ranks right up there.
Stephen, you mentioned the South China Sea earlier, and you know we have all these things going on. There's Ukraine, there's Iran. We have low stockpiles. How low? I don't want to know. I don't want that information out there, but everyone knows by this point in time they're low. And it sure seems like right about now would be an ideal time for China to go take Taiwan, if in fact that is something they intend to do. So why haven't they?
Well, I think there are a number of reasons, some of which have to do with the internal situation in China itself. The economy is in very bad shape, which may prompt aggressive action overseas to distract the Chinese people from their misery. But what else is going on is this, that Xi Jinping, who emulates Mao Zedong in all things, appears to have inherited the same paranoid megalomania that afflicted Chairman Mao in his last decade. Xi Jinping is getting older, and he's now started purging people that he himself, 10 years ago, promoted to high office. He has literally emptied out the ranks of senior generals in the People's Liberation Army. The Central Military Commission, which used to have 9 members, I think now is down to 2 members, and they're both political commissars. They're not war fighters, Jesse. They're the political types who betrayed the other members of the Central Military Commission, the ones who could actually command the ships and the planes and the invading force that might take Taiwan. So I think that one of the reasons why an invasion is not likely right now is because Xi Jinping, because of his own paranoia, his distrust of his subordinates, especially in the military, has decapitated his own command and control system. He cannot, from his headquarters in Zhongnanhai in Beijing, command individual battalions or divisions in an invasion of Taiwan. The invasion would certainly fail in that case. So I think that he himself, because of his actions, has made an invasion less likely. Would he like to take Taiwan? Yes, he said he'd like to take it originally by 2020. Well, that's long past. Then he said 2026. We're approaching the midpoint of that year, and now he said 2027. Taiwan is quickly becoming a porcupine. They're beginning to build drones. They are planning on building 100,000 drones a month. And any invading force that attempted to take Taiwan after that drone army is in place will find itself on the bottom of the Taiwan Straits.
Well, that's a good thing. Why does their economy suck?
Well, because of the tariffs, because Donald Trump has finally begun to reindustrialize the United States and stop China from cheating on currency, from cheating on trade, from taking advantage of the fact that we had the largest consumer market in the world, and it was largely unprotected before Donald Trump from these kinds of predatory practices. So China is now desperate to increase exports to other countries. And Peter Navarro has just released a brilliant report talking about the whole transshipment scam. Now that China can't ship goods directly to the United States to ports in San Francisco, Los Angeles, and Long Beach because it has to pay high tariffs, what is it doing? It's transshipping those goods through Mexico, Canada, through Cambodia, through Vietnam, through other countries, pretending that those goods were actually manufactured in Mexico or Vietnam by simply switching the labels. And we're now tracking that using artificial intelligence. We're able to track every container that exits Chinese ports, and we're able now to find out that the size of this transshipment business is about $150 billion a year in goods that come secretly into the United States, basically duty-free through Mexico. We're going to close down that loophole, Jesse, and China's going to take another big, big hit to its export economy.
Good. I love it. Stephen, thank you for everything, as always. I appreciate you, sir. We're going to talk to Mike Slater in a moment, get a biblical perspective on all the craziness going on in the world. Before we talk to Mike, let me talk to you about things that you and I need to do. You know, we think about the world, country, our state, our city. We want to fix things, right? Well, that's good. You can't do that if you're not okay. I take a male vitality stack from Chalk every single day because I can't do anything for my family, my town, my state, my country, or the world if I'm not okay. If I'm a low T weenie, I have no shot at helping anyone else do anything until I help myself. A male vitality stack from Chalk is natural herbal supplements, clinically tested, 20% increase in your T levels in just 90 days. I've been on one over 4 years. At 45, I feel fantastic. Chalk.com/JesseTV. We'll be back.
These kids are leaving high school and going to college, and they couldn't fill in four words. Four words. I literally broke down in the middle of class. This is only day two. And I have seniors who simply cannot read and seniors who cannot write. They can reason. They have the ability to defend their reasoning if it's talking to their homeboy, but applying that to a written text, two paragraphs, and they couldn't do it. Our young black men, our young brown men, our young black girls, and our young brown girls.
Yeah, their schools suck. Joining me now, Mike Slater, host of the wonderful Politics by Faith. Mike, it's pretty uncomplicated in my mind. Teachers' unions are corrupt. Schools in bad neighborhoods generally suck. You have a higher percentage of the class that are low-rent hoodlums, so the wonderful kids who want an education can't even find one if they want one, and the result is you graduate a bunch of 18-year-olds who can't read or write or do math.
With broken families to boot. It is Like imagine you, Jesse, you have kids. Imagine being okay with your kids not being able to read. And like you wouldn't go another day with them in your home knowing that they can't read words. This is abysmal. It's sad. It's infuriating. I think back of all the books I've read about slavery days in America and the lengths that the slave owners went to make sure that their slaves could not read. And if any slave dare attempt to smuggle in a book or talk to a family member who was like sneaking behind the master's back to try to teach them how to spell words, what the slave masters would do to torture and abuse and even kill slaves who dare try to read. And then here we are, 2026, entire schools. Like in Chicago, there's something like 30 schools where not a single student can read, not one. I just imagine like a slave owner coming back today and going, looking at a school day and being like, wow, how do you guys do it? How are you so good at preventing all these kids from knowing how to read? It they're doing an incredible job. And you have to come to that really dark conclusion. You can't fail at a task this long, this profoundly by accident. Like maybe in the beginning, some bad decisions were made or something that led us down the road. But we're now at a point where this is clearly on purpose. And this is to keep people ignorant and dumb and therefore vote for bad people and terrible policy to keep communists in power. Like I don't like conclusions like that. I don't know what else to do. It's from the bottom all the way to the top where kids can't read. And now I read an article the other day where preschoolers, 3-year-olds are given iPads. It's like they'll never like those kids won't ever. And then all the way up to Harvard, some professor at Harvard called in another professor to explain to the students why reading is important. Like you need to actually be able to read the books. Like Harvard. So it's like top to bottom. No, there's one statistic, and I've heard different statistics. There's different measurements of literacy, but we come from a country where in the colony times it was over 90% literacy, and in the Northeast it was like 95% literacy. It's like profoundly literate people that we come from, and now it's about I've heard 54% illiterate. If the definition is can't read above a 6th grade level, USA Today, which is the dumbest newspaper, like lowest literacy level, it's an 11th grade reading level. So we got about half the population that can't read the newspaper. What are we doing? Like how can this country function when we clearly come from a nation of that requires not only morality, but also wisdom and prudence and literacy too?
Mike, you mentioned broken home right off the bat, and I'm glad you went there right away because, look, all right, so you vote wrong. So you got scumbag politicians. You got a bad school. You got all these things. You still have, at least I would hope, at one parent, Lord willing to, but one parent in the home who cares about you. So if Aiden, Jaden, and Braden can't read, all right, well, we need to get that fixed, even if your school sucks and your teacher sucks and Randy Weingarten sucks. We got all those things. Where's that?
Yeah. So on my radio show just the other day, we were talking about this. We played that clip. I had 3 teachers call in, and each one, I didn't bring up the broken homes point. These 3 teachers did. One teacher said he's been teaching for 30 years. He said in his class of 30 students, there are 2 who have the same last name as their parents or the guardians, whoever it was. So he is teaching a classroom full of kids and none of them are from a 2-parent home. So I made the mistake of thinking that the lack of literacy in education was the problem, but it's actually the fruit of the problem. It's the rotten fruit of the problem. The problem is the broken home. And that's really the root of all the problems in this country, if you break it down. Like, we are not a country of individuals. We're a country based off the family unit. And as the communists have been trying to do for as long as communism has been around, and before then, it's just to break up the family. And when you break up the family, one of the consequences, and I don't really know why. I haven't connected that dot quite yet. Because you think even if you have a divorced family and the mom lives over there and the dad lives over there, you think one of them or both of them would like know that Johnny can't read. Like, so I don't exactly know what the connection is, but that is 100% the root of this literacy and lack of education problem.
What's What's the spiritual explanation for all this, Mike? A nation clearly failing its children, parents failing their children. What's going on?
Gosh, there's a lot. Let me give a root. Well, let me do a family example. I know enough about my grandpa and my pop, my mom's dad. And they were such good men. Good, everyone's got their story. I'm not going to bore everyone with it, but World War II veterans and the whole thing. Simple men, strong men. Grandpa was a roofer. Pop worked night shifts at AT&T in Manhattan. Just simple, good, strong men. And I remember hearing these stories, and I knew them enough, but I remember hearing the stories, and I was just like, man, I want to be like these guys. I want to be like these men. Maybe this is part of it. Maybe that's it, as I'm talking out loud. Maybe the broken homes like create a disconnect with who we're called to be and who we expect kids to be. And like, we're not calling them higher, and they're not connecting to their roots and their ancestry and what they could be. And I know to bring it to the Bible often, like all the time, talks about remembering. You have to remember, remember. Deuteronomy 32 says, remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask your father, he will show you. Ask your elders, they will tell you. Deuteronomy, I think it's 4, says, take care lest you forget the things that your eyes have seen. Make them known to your children and to your children's children. There's a lot of different stories in the Bible where God literally tells them to make monuments, right? So like pile these stones up by the River Jordan. So when your children ask, what is that pile of stones doing there? You can tell your kids exactly what happened at this site at this time. And I think it's part of the communist revisioning of history and revisioning of the family that we've lost all connection with the past. And because of that, we're not connected to anything that's good, beautiful, or true, or real, or our great potential. I'm throwing out some ideas here, and I think there's something there that we need to investigate deeper.
Mike, what's the Christian solution for Islam conquering all of Western civilization with intention? It's obvious that is the intention. And in America that has been saturated with feminized skinny jean Christianity is having a difficult time finding a way to combat this.
Yeah. Similar story, like know who we are, know who we came from. Know that we are of Christ and they are of the devil. And it has to be on those terms, and that's what the Bible says. They are of the devil, we are of Christ. We did a Politics by Faith the other day about the person, the communist person, the communist degenerate. I love the term you like to use, Jesse, the dreg, this dreg of society who vandalized the World War II memorial. And like that's just what communists do. They just destroy. That's who they are in every way. They're destroyers. And we're builders. Like they're that's what Satan does. It's Revelation 9:11. There's a name given to one of the demons. And the Hebrew name for this demon is literally destruction. That is the name of the demon, is destruction. And that is who they are at their core, in their heart, in their souls. We are people who build, right? We are of Christ, we build. But we got to know why we're building it and what we're building it for. And we're so disconnected from that. And the church is to blame. All of our weakness, all the failings is because of our weakness. They're not to blame. Satan is doing what Satan does. Demons do what demons do. Beavers build dams. Adam Carolla has the story where if you put a beaver on the top of the Empire State Building, they'll build a dam. That's just what they do. And communists destroy. It's just what they do. Satan destroys. It's what he does. It's our job to fight back against that and to build a society and to build a godly Christian society once again. It's imperative. It's our calling.
Mike, you are the man, brother, as always. Politics by Faith podcast. Thank you, man. I appreciate it. All right. Pretty cool moment for a 16-year-old kid who deserved it. Next. All right. It's time to lighten the mood. And Trump he's got some things he's just really, really good at. Really, really good at. And one of those things is he loves greatness, great stories, not just championship teams, great stories, stories of heroism. And when he gets a hold of these stories, he's willing to acknowledge them and acknowledge them publicly and celebrate great things. And I don't want to minimize that. That's a big thing, because you want to take your good people, your heroes in society, and you want to hold them up, not for their sake, for the rest of society's sake. You want to hold them up and say, hey, look at that. That's what you want to be. This Ryder Williams kid, 16 years old, lifeguard, California, saved somebody's life. The Trump administration, to their credit, get that kid on the phone, and they hauled him to the White House.
This is a great story, and it's an honor to be with Ryder Williams, who is a 16-year-old lifeguard, California, the Santa Cruz area. And I understand he was a winner right from the time they first saw him as a lifeguard. A lot of training, a lot of work. And he saved this young gentleman who I had a long talk with. I said, would you have made it without him? And he said, not really, right? Not really. It was trouble. So you're going to have a long and beautiful life.
I hope that everybody can take away from this and try to help more people. Try to look out for everybody around you and just try to help everybody out as much as you can.
Kids are going to be all right. I'll see you tomorrow. I would thank you for coming to my YouTube channel, but I know how brilliant it is, and I know you love it here. So subscribe and watch. We're going to start really ramping things up and putting some funny stuff, some interesting stuff out there, some collaborations. Either way, my YouTube channel is officially the place to be. So stick around.
Why should you listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand?
We're not boring. A lot of news is boring.
And tedious.
And depressing.
And makes you angry. You don't want to live your life like that.
Hey, I'm Jack Armstrong. He's Joe Getty.
We're Armstrong and Getty.
We try to bring you the truth.
And help you figure out this crazy modern world.
How about something about a comedic tone?
We have a winner.
Yes. Listen to Armstrong and Getty On Demand on the iHeartRadio app,
Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.